Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful that we can come and worship you this morning and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would draw us to yourself. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my salvation. Amen. Well, I'd ask you to turn in your bulletin and pull out your sheet that has sermon notes on one side and devotions on the other side, but we don't have those. And so if you're listening online today, there is no downloadable PDF file with those documents in it. Do you remember growing up, or maybe you've seen it in the movies for those of you who have not experienced it yourself, but as kids you had a secret knock, or you were able to enter into, so that you could enter into a friend's room or a clubhouse? Maybe it was a secret handshake, you get the idea. It was something only certain people were allowed to know. Because only certain people were allowed to enter. As I dwelled on it, secret knocks or handshakes suggest that there are those who are in, who are allowed to enter in. And by the same token, there were those who were not allowed to enter in. Now for kids, it's about boys keeping the girls out, or the girls keeping the boys out, or kids keeping their parents or older siblings out. It's about as much excluding some people as it is about including others. For some, that's the same problem they have with Jesus. If you know him, not just know of him, you're in. And if you don't know him, or you just know of him, you're not in. Or said another way, you're out. And I didn't make the rules. God made them. And as exclusionary as it might seem initially, God is all about including all people into the kingdom of heaven. For God so loved the whole world, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. For whoever believes in him, not just knows him or knows of him, but believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life for the whole world. And God will take you as you come, where and whenever you come. And there's no special knock. There's no special handshake, just believing in Jesus. So we note the question, what does it then mean to believe in Jesus? Now, as we continue to look at some incredible moments Jesus had as he was crucified on the cross, I wouldn't think then you would think it was incredible moments, but today we look back and they're incredible moments that we must remember. You see, Jesus came to earth in part to provide a new way to God, the Father, replacing or fulfilling the law that was the way. We must also remember that there is an adversary to God who doesn't want people to come to God. Jesus even stated about this adversary that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Not to kill physically or steal material stuff or destroy your property or your home in that sense, but to kill your spiritual life with Jesus. To steal any joy or happiness, any kindness or self-control. To steal your love and caring. To destroy any real relationships, not just with God, but any real relationships that you might have with each other. Jesus says that's what Satan comes to do, to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you're experiencing something like that now, it's not something that God has provided for you. It's something that God's trying to stop for you. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, that you might have life to the full. And for us to have life to the full, it isn't just about life now, because Jesus did come to help us have a good experience, a rich and abiding life today. But and even in the midst of difficulties. But Jesus came that we might have this life, this abundant and full life forever and ever and ever forever. Say life forever with me. Life forever. That's what God's greatest blessing is to each one of us, the whole world. And Jesus on the cross is providing a way to God if you believe in him. Last Sunday, as Jesus hung on the cross, not that he hung on the cross last Sunday, but we talked about Jesus hanging on the cross last Sunday, and he asked his Heavenly Father to forgive those people who had orchestrated his crucifixion and those who were currently hurling insults at him, for they didn't know what they were doing. And as he hung on the cross, he was not alone. Read it with me. Jim, can you give me an assist here? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. They crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Although we only know that they were robbers or thieves, we know from another gospel that initially these two men, for hours and hours, in their pain and torment, had joined with those on the ground who were jeering and hurling insults at Jesus. But Scripture says here, the people stood and watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. Read the rest with me. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The people and the rulers, the religious rulers who were to lead the people to God to help them find the Messiah, were now in the very act of working against Jesus, working against God, and leading others astray. If you're the Messiah, the one that God promised to send us, the chosen one, then save yourself. I can't say that in my life I've ever spoken that way, because from the time I was an infant, I've always known or believed in Jesus as the Savior of the world, the chosen one of God. And frankly, I consider myself blessed for having always known that. And every day, for those of you who have known since infancy Jesus as Savior, you should feel blessed too. And although some of us have been blessed that way, we have to recognize that others have not. Others have not. You grow up in a home where God was not mentioned. Jesus was only a name you used when you were disgusted with someone or something. Others grew up in a home where God was used as a weapon. If you don't, God will get you. As if God was the boogeyman. Others still grew up knowing Jesus, but at some point, the world drew you away. No point in worshiping God, that's church. No point in spending time with God, that's prayer. No point in giving money for God's work, that's offering. No point in serving others in Jesus' name, that's ministry, that's mission. No point in listening to God, that's cracking open your Bible and reading it. No point at all in telling others about believing in Jesus, and that's witnessing. These two thieves were only reflecting the viewpoint of the world around them. Kill, steal, and destroy. But then something happened to one of the thieves on the cross, one on their cross. Somehow in the midst of joining the crowd in condemning Jesus, a change occurs. Now listen, this is really important. The thieves had joined the crowd in condemning Jesus for not being what? It's on the screen. For not being God's Messiah, the chosen one. We all have that tendency in life to join in with the crowd, with the mob. Maybe it's a feeling of strength that we get in joining others. Maybe it's that idea of safety in numbers. Maybe you're trusting others as you yourself are unsure what the real issue is, so you'll go along with the crowd. But the problem here at the crosses is to join in with the crowd was joining in with those who opposed Jesus. Truly dangerous. And you and I, when we do not promote Jesus in our lives, in a sense, we're joining with the crowd. Who wouldn't shout it out that they got good grades? Who wouldn't shout it out when they graduated from school? Cool, a new job. My new house, I'm married, my first child, my grandchild, I'm retired. Who wouldn't shout those things out? And the world would congratulate you and goes along with it. We shout it out and it's a good thing. But when it comes to sharing our faith, telling others about the benefits of Jesus, hey, have I told you about the benefits of exercise? Have I told you about eating right? No problem. Well, sometimes it's not a problem. Sometimes we don't like to hear about exercising. Sometimes we don't like to hear about eating right. But we can do that. But when it comes to sharing about Jesus or our faith, world does not like that. And Satan is the one who currently prowls around the world looking for people to devour. The world says faith is a private matter. Don't share it. But Jesus says, tell everyone. Tell everyone everywhere. For God so loved the whole world. I came that you might have life and have it to the full. You see, it takes real strength. Strength of commitment to God, strength to stand tall and proud in and for God and what Jesus has done for us. I guess there's a key here to simply say to others, for me, this is the easiest way, simply say to others what God is doing in my life. That's easy, because that's what God's doing in my life, and you share it, right? Someone has a problem, hey, I'll pray for you. Boy, you just run up the flagpole of your life that God is important to you, or at least prayer is. It can be as simple as that. You can even say, God speaks to me every Sunday in worship. The music, the liturgy, the prayer time, the reading of Scripture, God speaking to you, maybe even in the preaching of the Word. But if you say nothing, nobody will know, and you remain safe. So the thief on the cross could have remained safe. But he has some type of soul change in those hours and hours on the cross. And I believe the Holy Spirit was whispering into his ear, hey, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the chosen one. Jesus is the Messiah. And this may be your last chance. And at some point, while the first thief was still hurling insults, saying, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. The other thief states, read it with me, don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Done nothing wrong. Yet the world does not want to hear about him. The world doesn't want to trust him. The world simply doesn't want to believe in him. And the thief is now coming to repentance. Look, the thief has come to some important changes of thought on this matter of the one who's nailed on the cross beside him. So when we look at this thief, we note a couple of things. First, the thief feared God. Feared God. This is knowing deep down inside that the God who created you to be in relationship with you has the power to destroy both body and soul. This fear is about a reverent fear, an awe of God. And it's important to know Satan does not have that power to destroy your soul. But God does. And this is a step toward repentance, knowing Jesus first, which is acknowledging who God is and fearing God. Secondly, he declared that Jesus was righteous. He has done no wrong. We are punished justly, and we're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. So he's acknowledging that Jesus is righteous. And coming to the point of knowing Jesus is righteous suggests that he now understands he must depart from siding with the crowd. He now sets himself apart by acknowledging that Jesus is God, God's chosen one, the Messiah. And in acknowledging this, he takes one more step toward salvation through repentance. And so now he stands or hangs alone from the crowd, from the other thief, and he takes the final step of true belief, knowing who Jesus is, and he says these words, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." It's a big step. It's a big step for people to say that. "Jesus, it's you alone I'm trusting for my eternity. It's you I'm going to hitch my wagon to. Where you go, I'm going to go to." And then Jesus answers the thief on the cross, an answer which everyone wants to hear. "Truly I tell you, today," read the rest with me, "today you will be with me in paradise." People long to hear those words. So because the thief was willing not just to see the truth, for many see the truth, but he expresses that truth out loud for the world to hear. He is not ashamed to speak the truth, and in doing so, we today are privileged to hear Jesus give him his reward. "Today you will be with me in paradise." In following the thief to Christ, we see three things. There needs to be this recognition of God, a healthy or reverent awe or fear of God, which I believe many people have. Then we must be willing to acknowledge who Jesus is, the Savior of the world, which will put us in opposition to others who don't believe the same. And then we must believe Jesus is the chosen one, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. We must hitch our wagon to him and be free to share it with the world around us. And what I really like about this story is this. There's no secret handshake to get in. It's very simple. Everyone, even the thief on the cross, is welcome to believe. And what speaks to me most is that Jesus is ready to receive anyone at any time, even at the end of life. I want to end with these two observations I had while I was waiting for food at Culver's. You know Culver's down on M59? You know how you go to the window, you pick up you pay your money, and then they have you pull around? So I was pulled around waiting for the food to come out. And while I was waiting, there were people going in and out. It was dinner time. And this dad and his son pull up in a truck, and they get out. The dad was further away from the door than the son, and the son started walking toward the door. He opened the door, walked in, and the dad was still behind him, and the door was closing. And the dad had to reach out and pull open the door. The kid was about 13 years old, I'm guessing. And I thought to myself, that dad needs to teach his son. In order for that son to learn to open the door or hold open the door for those who are walking in behind him. That way the son will know what to do in the future. And I realized that the son must be taught. I was chuckling when I saw that. The second observation was this. There was a telephone line in the field in front of me. And a hawk just glides up to the line and sits on the line. It's a beautiful bird. But a hawk is deadly. Make no mistake, this hawk had its head down. It was looking in the field below, and it wasn't looking for a playmate or someone to pet him. This hawk was all business, looking for some unsuspecting prey, searching for who it might devour. After all, it was dinner time. The son needed to be taught and reminded, reminded me that a thief on the cross had gotten into eternity at the very last moment of life because somehow he was being taught in the moment. Like the son, the thief needed to be taught the truth. Someone needed to show him the way. And it needed to happen sooner in his life so that he could have enjoyed the relationship with Jesus or God sooner rather than later. The thief was fortunate to get in at the last moment. But if someone had taken the time to teach him. The hawk reminded me that Satan is looking to keep people from the truth, from knowing Jesus personally. You see, Satan is okay that people know about Jesus or know of Jesus, but Satan winces when they come to know Jesus personally. We all need to keep in mind that there is a spiritual battle for the very hearts and minds, our very souls of all people. For God so loved the whole world. Who is the son-like person in your life around you that is wandering aimlessly through life without knowing Jesus? Remember, maybe like the thief on the cross, they're surrounded by people telling them that the truth about who Jesus is not what you're supposed to believe. And they won't go and think for themselves. Who is that son-like person in your life that needs to be taught? Who is the Holy Spirit laying on your heart that needs to know the truth about Jesus? And how can you help them so that Satan doesn't snatch them and keep them from God? Someone you could tell, I'll pray for you. Someone who you could share what God is doing in your life. How was your weekend? Oh, it was great. I went and worshiped God yesterday. Oh, well, great. Right? Isn't that the truth? Or better yet, God spoke to me yesterday. You want to pique someone's interest? God spoke to me yesterday. And people will like lean in. Someone that maybe you could invite to service sometime. Easter's coming up, the most invitable Sunday ever. There's no secret handshake. There's no knock on the door to get in. It's simply knowing and believing in Jesus. Hitching your wagon to His. The way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. We're grateful, Father, that you make it pretty simple for us to come to know you. Sometimes I laugh, Lord, because it's hilarious that you're asking us to be your ambassadors at times when we're not even sure what we're doing. But Holy Spirit, we're going to trust you. We're going to trust you to help us to utter the right words. To say those words that would be inviting. Frankly, Lord, some people will rebuff us. But I know, Lord, there are a lot of people in our lives that are dying without you. Give us the courage, Father. Help us to be able to do all that you are asking us to do. To live out our lives and to share with the world. For God so loved the whole world. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,